Well, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, and who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man descend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" What was it that those disciples heard? This hard saying they couldn't understand, that caused them to complain. What was it? And when Jesus addressed their complaint, the Bible records, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 60 labels them as disciples. And again later in the text, question: how far will we walk with Jesus? It must be said today that we did not come this far to only come this far. You did not come this far to only come this far. You know, it's amazing, this portion of Scripture, it doesn't say that it was trial or temptation or persecution or rejection or pressure from others or the devil. What made them turn back and walk with him no more was a saying of his, a teaching, his words. Is it possible that a saying of Jesus could cause many of his disciples to turn back and walk with him no more? One might say, it could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Is that the conclusion we want to draw? Let's read verses 41 to 59. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Jesus is teaching. Jesus is delivering a message, delivering a word, kingdom truth. A hard saying. Difficult. The Amplified Classic, when his disciples heard this, many of them said, this is a difficult, a hard and difficult and strange saying, an offensive and unbearable message. Who can stand to hear it? Who can be expected to listen to such teaching? The Phillips New Testament, this is a hard teaching indeed. Who could accept that? And the Message paraphrase reads, many among his disciples heard this and said, this is a tough teaching, too tough to swallow. You know, I wonder the number, the total number of disciples from then till now that have come so far only to go no further. How many are the many? Those among the disciples, and the Bible records many, that walked so far with him only to walk no further. The number of those upon hearing a tough teaching, tough to swallow, I wonder the number that have turned back and walked with him no more. Listen, the text is clear. It wasn't trial. It wasn't temptation. It wasn't persecution or rejection or pressure from others or from the devil. A tough teaching. And they couldn't accept it. They couldn't swallow it. Incredible. The NLV, after hearing this, many of his followers said, "This teaching is too hard. Who can listen to it?" You know, I wonder how many have exited solid churches over the years because of Jesus saying was preached that was tough. Too tough for them to accept. Even though the words delivered were spirit and life. And there were comments made. There was complaint. They grumbled. The Amplified, they said this is a difficult and harsh and offensive statement. Who can be expected to listen to it? And so they started talking amongst themselves. And what happened? What happened when their complaints were addressed? And you say, well, if it was Jesus delivering the saying, it would be different, right? No. The text shows us that this is to be inaccurate. The words delivered that are spirit and life, and the final outcome of it all is this: disciples turning back and walking no further. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. Concerning the gathering of the saints, how many have walked out because of a tough teaching, a difficult saying, too hard to handle? How many have walked out of the corporate gathering, quit going altogether, or have they found a seat in a palliative care facility? The message reads, many among his disciples heard this and said, "This is a tough teaching, too tough to swallow." Jesus sensed that his disciples were having a hard time with this and said, "Does this rattle you completely? What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where he came from? The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this." Jesus knew from the start that some weren't going to risk themselves with him. He knew also who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you earlier that no one is capable of coming to me on his own. You get to me only as a gift from the Father." After this, many of his disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with them. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. "Do you also want to leave?" Peter replied, "Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God." Man, I want to answer like Peter. No matter how tough the saying, no matter how difficult the teaching, I want to answer like Peter. "Master, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life." Listen to what Jesus said to the disciples that complained about what he said. The New King James Version, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" I mean, just think about it. Jesus is in the synagogue. Jesus is teaching. He's preaching. How many would want to be there? His disciples are in the room. Many are there. They're gathered. He delivers a hard saying, a hard teaching. Some of them can't wrap their mind around it. They don't have teeth for it. They can't chew it. They can't swallow it. It's too difficult. It's harsh. Their lack of understanding, not perceiving what is being said. They start grumbling and complaining and murmuring. Jesus addresses the complaint. Is this too hard? Is this too harsh? Is this too difficult? He actually, does this offend you? The footnote in the New King James Bible for does this offend you, make you stumble? What does the Bible say? 1 Peter 2:6-8. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Quite the line. Stumble being disobedient to the word, that is disbelief. You know, I hear the words of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles, that is the sayings, scriptures of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. Can't handle solid food. So is the solution to commit to a diet of milk? No. We need to develop. We need to grow. We need to mature. The words of Leonard Ravenhill, a Christian's muscles and sinews will strain under the loads which the Spirit will give. To ensure spiritual stamina, each believing burden bearer must eat the strong meat of the Word. Even the tough sayings, the hard sayings, the difficult ones, an unwillingness to swallow meat, solid food. You know what? Meat's tough if you lack teeth for it. Pray for teeth. There is a time for milk. We are talking about the pure milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what, though? There are even cases of unwillingness to partake of milk. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The voice reads, a time will come when some will no longer tolerate sound teaching. No tolerance for it. Instead, they will live by their own desires. They'll scratch their itching ears by surrounding themselves with teachers who approve of their lifestyles and tell them what they want to hear. They will turn away from the real truth you have to offer because they prefer the sound of fables and myths. I wonder how many would gather to themselves the true Jesus, the one who preached spirit and life, receiving from him the pure milk of the word that they might grow and develop and mature, that they might become those that can swallow meat, solid food, tough sayings, hard sayings, these with teeth like lions. Further words from Ravenhill. It seems to me we are advertising and advocating a Christianity that has the color but not the character of the real thing. Anything in the spiritual life that savors of discipline or of really taking up the cross is termed legalism and is despised. He went on to say, when there's something in the Bible that churches, Christians, don't like, they call it legalism. It's still unbelievable. Jesus is teaching. Emmanuel, God in flesh among us. And they're saying this is a hard and difficult and strange saying, an offensive and unbearable message. It's too harsh. Who can be expected to listen to it? Well, what have we learned? A hard saying, a difficult saying, a tough teaching turns some to complaining and grumbling. A hard saying, a difficult saying, a tough teaching offends some. Or something we don't like, some saying, some teaching. And according to the text, when the complaining and grumbling is addressed, and even when it's not, some turn back and walk on no longer. We did not come this far to only come this far. For those who have ears to hear today, go the distance with Jesus. Take in all the spirit and life you can. Let your muscles and sinews strain under the loads which the Spirit will give. Grow, develop, mature. Any parent in the house today, there is a time for milk. But if you had a 16-year-old in your house living on a diet of milk alone, there's a problem. Mom puts meat on the table. Dad puts meat on the table. Too tough. Can't handle it. Run to the next door neighbor. I mean, Jesus dealt with this. This is not new. You say, Jesus must have had the most glorious ministry. Listen, he did. But look at what it came down to. Many walked away. He taught this teaching. Instead of them crying out for understanding, saying, Jesus, let's walk together on the road. Unpack the scriptures to us. Instead, they complain, they grumble, they murmur. They call the teaching offensive, too difficult, harsh. When he's trying to take them from glory to glory, from strength to strength, he's trying to lead them, this glorious Savior, lead them on to glory. You see, Jesus didn't forsake them. They forsook him. And it wasn't temptation. It wasn't trial. It wasn't persecution. Nobody was holding a sword to their throat that day. It was a saying of Jesus. Church, we need to grow and develop and mature. We need to eat the strong meat of the word, for Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I share these words with you today. It's true. We are what we eat. Jesus said his flesh is our meat, food. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. They said this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The Jews could not comprehend such a thought. And many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Those who relegate this eating of the Lord to the communion table alone do not understand what Jesus meant. The Lord's Supper is not just symbolic. Rather, it is to remind us that he became our source of life through death. We are to come often, daily, to eat and drink of him. The more we eat of him, the more spiritual life will be demonstrated in us. We have an open invitation to come to his table, eat, and become strong. Partaking of Christ is to feed on God's word and commune with him in the prayer of faith. When sheep are not fed, they grow skeletal and weak, becoming easy prey for the enemy. Yet I see in the land the coming forth of a remnant ministry made up of servants and handmaidens, good morning, church, who are becoming acquainted with the Lord's own heart. The Spirit has anointed them to bring forth a seeking people who will follow them into the fullness of Christ. Their numbers are few, but growing. They have no other source of life. They are bursting forth with life because they have been in the presence of the Lord so often. God has provided a way to make every child of his strong to resist the enemy. This strength comes from eating the bread of God sent down from heaven. Our spiritual health and strength depends on this. Hear carefully the words of Jesus. I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus was in such close union with the Father, so committed to doing only his will, that the Father's words became his very food and drink. He was daily sustained by hearing and seeing what the Father wanted, the result of spending much time alone with him. Jesus once told his disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus further said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat, food, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. We dare not miss this secret of strength. Even as Christ lived by the Father, so must we get our life by feeding on him. Get alone with the Lord and spend quality time in his presence. He wants to feed your hungry soul and guide you through these perilous times. God will always manifest his presence when you seek him with all your heart. When sheep are not fed, or when they don't want to eat what the shepherd would have them eat, the shepherd that cares for them, And there was Jesus, the great shepherd, on that day delivering a word, delivering a teaching, saying, do all the teachings need to be easy? It's a hard teaching, but the shepherd knew what they needed. If our eyes were open to true condition and state, how many today are not growing, are skeletal and weak, becoming easy prey for the enemy because they aren't willing to swallow the tough sayings of Jesus? I ask today, are there any sayings of Jesus we can't swallow? Won't swallow? Don't want to swallow? Perhaps we read the word or hear the word preached, and when we collide with what we deem a tough teaching, for whatever reason, we turn to complaint and grumbling. You hear what was preached today? Tough. I mean, who can be expected to listen to that? It's offensive. Did it sit right with you? Sure didn't sit right with me. What's wrong with that guy? I mean, I wonder what the grumbling was actually like and the murmuring and the complaining. But see, Jesus sensed it. That's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture. Genesis to Revelation. Every book, every chapter, every line, every word. All scripture. I mean, that's pretty clear. He's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that is training, discipline, in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, if that's the case and that's the truth, I want to swallow all the sayings. No matter if they're tough. And some sayings, guess what? You might have to chew on them longer. The Phillips New Testament, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error, for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. The scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God to fit him fully for all branches of his work. The message reads, there's nothing like the written word of God. Can you testify today? For showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. The shepherd knows what we need. There's a time for milk. But you know, Jesus wants his disciples to grow and mature as they walk with him. To grow teeth, develop an appetite for tougher teaching. For harder sayings. That they might be strong. not skeletal and weak. You can have the worship team return today. The truth is, there will be those that turn back and walk with him no longer. We see even here on this day when Jesus taught that there was a great falling away, the Bible records many of his disciples went away and no longer walked with him. Can you hear him today? John 6, 67. Then Jesus said, "Do you also want to go away?" Verses 68 and 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We did not come this far to only come this far. Disciples, walk on. Hard sayings, embrace them. Pray for understanding. Study the word. Seek out the wise. Wisdom has many fathers, foolishness has none. Develop, grow, mature, gain teeth. Shall we be those that believe as far as we can understand and accept? And when we cannot comprehend or palate, turn our heel and leave the school of the great teacher? Drop out. Drop back. Walk on with Jesus. Let's ask him for revelation, to talk with us on the road, to open the scriptures to us. We have nowhere else to go. No other life apart from Christ. I share these words, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Observe that Peter does not appear to think it possible or think it less than abominable for a man to go back. No, Peter does not tolerate the idea of going back. I ask you, my beloved brother in Christ, can you tolerate it? Can you? Can you? I might address myself to a brother who was once among the profane and the drunken, who is now among the most earnest of us, and I might ask him, "Brother, would you go back?" I am sure that the thought of the rack would be more pleasing than the idea of returning to his old haunts. I might address myself to another who was fond of every form of gaiety, spending his money for that which was not bread, and his labor for that which did not satisfy him. He will be found among us today, happiest among the happy in the service of the Master. And I inquire of him, "Brother, will you go back? Would you like to enjoy all your gay life again? It would be death to you." Suppose that any of us who know the joy of being Christ's could have it proposed to us to go back. Suppose we were not immoral, but were everything that could be desired in our outward conduct. Would we like to go back to that dead morality which had no life of faith nor light of hope about it? No, no. When Christian, in the Pilgrim's Progress, thought about going back, he recollected that he had no armor for his back. He had a breastplate. He was covered from head to foot by his shield, but there was nothing to protect his back. And therefore, if he retreated, the adversary could spit him with a javelin in a moment. So he thought, that bad as it was to go forward, it would be worse to go backward. And therefore he bravely cut a path for himself straight onward for glory. Look at that fact whenever you are tempted. Do not endure the idea of turning tail in the day of battle. May retreat be impossible to you. God make it impossible by his grace. there will be a great falling away. Time has come. There are those that will not endure sound doctrine. It's been this way throughout history. There are those that will not tolerate the sound teaching, the hard sayings. They're running around trying to gather to themselves teachers that will deal with their problem. Itching ears. Prophesy to us smooth things. Speak to us smooth things. Jesus, we just want the easy sayings. But he knows what we need. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And then you get to the next verse, the next stanza. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. That's what separates the men from the boys right there. Though none go with me, still I will follow. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. Lord, we will never leave thee. Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not we. By thy faithfulness, O Lord, keep us faithful. Will you decide to follow Jesus, no turning back? And if it should come to it, if none go with you, will you still follow? Look at the number that day. The masses turned, the many turned. And Jesus just addresses 12. You want to go away too? I mean, he gave him a chance, gave him an opportunity right there to walk. And the story could have read very different. Will you decide to follow Jesus, no turning back? It was a hard saying, a tough saying, a difficult saying that day. The Bible doesn't say that it was temptation or trial, persecution, pressure, peer pressure, family pressure, spouse pressure, generational pressure. Doesn't say it was the devil. A hard teaching. But I ask today, what shall we say to trial and temptation and persecution and rejection and pressure? Romans 8. 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, ask today, are you persuaded? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Walk on. Well, what of affliction? Affliction. You know, I love this psalm. It's so beautiful. This one verse, Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Walk on. Where else are we going to go? I don't know about you, but I don't want a dumbed down version of Christianity. That's not Christianity. I don't want a dumbed down form of discipleship and relationship with Christ. That's not his heart. That's not what he has in mind. Man, I remember as a young boy reading through the Bible, you're trying to make your way through. I mean, Genesis is brilliant. And then you get to the next book, and yeah, it's good. Some good stories. And Leviticus, what's going on here? There's some tough sayings, and you're questioning things. Like, yeah, develop teeth, grow, mature. Don't skip to Matthew. We need the whole Word of God. We need the whole counsel. We need every teaching that Jesus would teach us. You know, I'm so thankful for some hard teachings I learned in my life from my earthly father, from spiritual fathers, from pillars in the house. Hard lessons. And I can say today that if we will swallow the hard lessons, we will not be skeletal and weak. And we will rise. And we will walk on with Jesus. Strength, power, from glory to glory, until the day He calls us home. Let's stand today in the house of the Lord. God, we want to grow and mature. We want to be strong. I pray that You would raise up, continue to raise up that remnant ministry in the land. That we would walk with You, Jesus, into fullness. Surrender all we are, Lord. Yeah, Jesus. We.